This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Addressing the gender gap issue has always been a widely debated topic across the world. In a region as culturally diverse as Southeast Asia, the progression towards gender diversity has been long drawn out. Through an extensive survey carried out by Boston Consulting Group, or BCG, we have Mariam Jaffar, partner and managing director, lead of women at BCG Southeast Asia, to talk about the gender gap in the workforce. Nice to be speaking to you, Mariam.
Hi, Frida. Morning.
Now, BCG has carried out a number of surveys on gender gap and diversity in the workplace within the Southeast Asia region. So tell us more about the survey and what was the objective behind doing it?
Right. So, as you know, gender diversity is a major topic at BCG. It is one of our top CEO agendas, and we've done a lot of things about it. I think over the years also, we've seen it as our responsibilities, really, to bring, you know, our thought leadership on the topic to the broader world, because our clients are asking for it. And more, I think it is really about being a force of change. So we've done, through Women at BCG, we've done numerous reports globally. Mm-hmm. The recent report you are referring to is actually part of a global study on what actually works when it comes to, you know, so-called initiatives to increase gender diversity. So it's a global study, but we've been able to do it across multiple countries around the world, and we've got a report specifically for Southeast Asia. I think it's the first time where we've taken a quantitative view at it. I think a lot of the studies tend to be more qualitative. So we've been very focused on, you know, when it comes to a lot of people are doing a lot of things. Some things are working well, some things are not. What really is the highest ROI kind of initiatives that drive gender diversity?
Okay, we'll talk about what is working and what isn't in just a while. But also in this moving towards gender diversity in Southeast Asia, over the last few decades, right, this is according to BCG, Southeast Asia has come a long way with women's participation in the workforce. So since 1980, it's increased by 42%. However, since 1990, the growth has been slow with only a 2% growth over the last 30 years. So what do you think is the cause for this slow growth?
Yeah, so I think, you know, in general, as we said, it has gone up significantly, right, in terms of female workforce participation. And that's been a function of education levels going up. But the real issue is really, you know, how are we doing in terms of progress in the most senior levels? So in terms of senior management and board levels. And I think there we have made even less progress, right, with women accounting for only 12% of board members at Southeast Asia's largest companies.
Okay. Now, according to the Malaysia Department of Statistics, the statistics of women in university, workforce, management and board level has decreased in Malaysia, Singapore and Indonesia. Do you think it's the perception of women and the working lifestyle affecting this involvement?
Yeah, so I think women, when you think about it, right, so I saw a wonderful chart recently, actually in another study that was conducted by, you know, the German offices of BCG. So it was really quite fascinating. I think it tracked basically the progress in education levels of women over time. And, of course, that has gone up a lot, right? A very steep line going up, and that's fantastic. But then it also tracked the progress in terms of women in senior management over time. And, you know, it was so stark, it has barely moved. So it's gone up, but a lot less quickly. So I think the key insight from there is just having a more educated workforce, having more educated women has not translated into women in senior positions.
Right. So I think it's culture.
Yeah, so I think a bunch of different things in Southeast Asia in general. I think there's some global things, but also in Southeast Asia, some things may be more pronounced, right? As you know, in Southeast Asia, I think women still bear the brunt of family and child rearing. So, you know, I think the pressures of having to support that are actually quite stark. And so it's really important to figure out how to get women to support during those stages. I think there's also cultural biases, right? So if you look at, you know, from the survey, one of the key things we found were what are the beliefs that people actually have that may hinder why they don't do more actually in terms of gender diversity. And some of the beliefs are like, you know, they think, a lot of people say that it's natural for women to want to give up their careers. But our research really shows that's not true at all, you know.
And who's saying that, right?
If you look across men and women, there's absolutely no difference in the women who actually want to get promoted, want to rise within the company, and men. And it's true across Malaysia, Singapore, and Vietnam. It really is, I think, a myth that needs some busting.
Okay, but in Vietnam, it's a bit more positive in Vietnam. Why do you think that's the case, though?
Yeah, I think that was actually something that was interesting to us also, right? Mm. So I think, you know, the great thing is that the economy in Vietnam, I think, has actually realized earlier on that they needed to have women in the workforce just because of the structure of the economy. And I think that has actually allowed women to come up through the ranks quicker. Mm. And I think culturally, we also see that for some reason, there are less... I talked a bit about the misalignment between, you know, what people think and what's the reality, right? So there's a lot of misalignment between, say, what men think the issues are and what women think the issues are, typically. And we've seen this across the world, right? So in terms of men just being much more optimistic about where we are in terms of gender diversity, about there being progress. And we've seen that globally, and we've seen that in Southeast Asia. Vietnam is actually the only country where actually, you know, there isn't that misalignment. So when there isn't that misalignment, then everybody recognizes the issues, right? And everybody is willing to make the changes necessary to...
Yeah, sometimes I wonder, right? And it, because of this communist regime, right, where all are equal, that would that have any bearing on the results?
Yeah, I think there's a much more equal culture and just a much more... Like I said, a lot of alignment in terms of there isn't a sense that, you know, men think things are great, women don't, right? So when you have alignment, I think that is really key.
Now, there were four beliefs that hinder gender diversity that you all talk about, which in and I guess these are what organizations can do or not do to encourage gender diversity. Can you go through with us the four beliefs?
Yeah. So the first I talked about earlier, right, that the belief is that, you know, it's only natural for women to give up their careers for family. As I said, in reality, women actually do want to progress. The second belief is really about, you know, we in Southeast Asia, we have bigger, more urgent priorities, right? Priorities like growth, thinking about how to go international, thinking about how to transform digitally, for example. And I think our perspective there is, I mean, the one thing that you always need when you're trying to do any of those things is really talent, right? And we've seen also many reports about the talent gap that exists in all parts of Southeast Asia. And so it's really a matter of, you know, how can we, if we are so short of talent, actually not do more to tap, you know, that 50% or more of the workforce that is actually female and actually using that to close that gap. The third belief is really that, you know, promoting gender diversity comes at the expense of meritocracy. Mm. Hear that being said. Mm. You know, and the right. Funny thing is that, you know, in companies where they actually do a lot and they're most advanced, I think, in terms of promoting gender diversity, that doesn't come up at all. I think only really it tends to come up most in the companies that are, I think, that are least proactive in terms of doing something. And then the fourth belief is that gender diversity will come at the expense of just wider inclusion, you know, whether it's ethnicity or age or other things, right? So these are all competing priorities. And, you know, I think the real issue there is that, yes, diversity of all sorts is important. Mm-hmm. They're all ultimately striving for the same objective, which is, you know, to get an inclusive environment where everyone can thrive. And we see this all as actually really mutually reinforcing.
We'll talk a little bit more about what we all hope to do with this survey, sharing it with companies and what we hope to change in just a moment. I'm here with Mariam Jaffa from BCG. Stay tuned to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise. It's Her Vantage. We speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm Frida Liu. I'm here with Mariam Jaffa, Boston Consulting Group, or BCG, Southeast Asia. We're talking about building bridges towards gender diversity based on a survey that they have done. I guess doing this and getting the results out, I'm guessing, of course, you're sharing this with your clients as well. What do you hope to achieve with all this?
Yeah. As anything, I think, you know, we hope to be a force of change in the world. Right. And we hope that we have at least, I think that the business case for gender diversity is well known, well established. I think it's really about a call to action, right? Like, things don't just change overnight. Yeah. You actually have to do something about it. So what we hope to do is really to, first of all, increase the awareness of what the reality is. All these, you know, perceptions that people have, right? So, and really just give insight into where really the key issues are. So I'll give you an example. I think a lot of effort, money, and time is spent on recruitment, and that's great, right? Because, you know, senior management men in our survey thought that, you know, recruitment was the number one issue in many of the markets. But actually, if you looked at what the women say, you know, the key issue is not so much recruitment, but really about advancement and retention. So shifting a bit more focus into the obstacles in those areas, I think, would go a long way. So I think having this fact base of what really the obstacles are and really what works, right? So I talked about what are the high-impact initiatives. So if you are just getting started, we've all got limited resources, limited time and attention. What do you focus on first to get the most bang for the buck? And there are really three things there. Right, so one is to support women at the moments of truth. So whether it is coming out of maternity leave or during pregnancy, right? So what are the really things that you can do to make the day-to-day work more, I guess, effective for women, right? So that they don't fall out in the middle. Secondly, is really about just creating a culture, an environment where women feel included. You know, minimally, I think, to make sure that there's no discrimination in the workforce. And it's really also small things. You know, I was at a client once, and we were having a meeting in the boardroom floor. And so we decided to take a bio break. And it was only then that I realized I was the only woman in the room. You know, how I did that thing. And then just went next door to the executive toilet, okay? Oh. And I then realized I had to actually walk out to the elevator lobby, cross over to the other side to use the women's toilet on the other side of the floor because there was no executive toilet for women, right? So I think these small things like that actually matter. And then if you take it to the next level, is how can we actually, you know, we've seen examples of companies who do great things, for example, you know, making that trade-off within career and family less severe, right? For example, inviting the family to the workplace so that they can see for themselves what their moms, their wives are doing at work. And it's important and celebrated, right? So similarly encouraging men to take advantage of any of these interventions so that it doesn't become a stigma, right, that, oh, this is a women's initiative. But no, I mean, a lot of these things are really helpful for everyone.
Okay, and this is something that Vietnam does, right? They host social events that are inclusive to families.
Yeah, we saw a few examples of that in Vietnam, actually. I wouldn't say that it is, you know, done everywhere, but we saw a few very interesting examples of that.
Okay, so by doing this, the family understands what's going on and I guess more committed to that, right? Now, some initiatives also suffer from poor implementation and thus are ineffective in improving gender diversity. So what are some common ineffective interventions found in these Southeast Asian companies?
Yeah. So I think one that I like to, that, you know, was really stark was bias reduction training. Because, you know, the buzzword is that, oh, you need to be aware of unconscious bias. So what's the solution? Let's have bias reduction training. But often it is organized as a one-off training. And so it tends to be, you know, really short-lived. And it's very easy to quickly revert to that unconscious bias over time. So if you don't actually make systematic changes in how day-to-day things work, so for example, removing names from resumes or removing the ability to see whether it's a man or a woman, right? So those things would systematically change things. I think just one-off bias reduction training doesn't work. Another thing that is really well-intentioned also is things like mentorship programs. Too often the mentorship programs become more casual chats, right, and tend to fizzle out if there isn't already a chemistry. You know, we see a lot more success with what we call sponsorship, where there's a bit more of an accountability dimension for helping, you know, women, especially more senior women, to progress, right? And that's actually put on, you know, senior men to make sure that they help them along the way.
I understand BCG also has a partnership with TED. Tell me about this partnership.
Sure. TED, as you know, is all about spreading ideas, and they do great talks. And BCG is actually a founding partner of the TED Institute, which was launched back in 2013. And they've chosen, you know, organizations to basically spur innovation, share insights on across all of their platforms. So as part of that, we jointly curate and we do these TED at BCG events every year in cities around the world. Past one was just in Milan, where we had 500 executives, entrepreneurs, thought leaders to look at the theme of Break the Mold. And then I think for me, personally, one of the most interesting things that have come out of that collaboration is actually TED Women is one of their, I guess, newest platforms for women. You know, it's a conference for to talk specifically about women's issues. A lot of the speakers are women, and we've had a lot of participation there. I think those are topics that are close to our heart anyway. We've had, over the years, several of our women partners, colleagues, actually speak at TED. So it was a really natural fit for us.
And how do you think TED Women has changed or affected women's participation in the workforce? And I guess you also look at workforce and entrepreneurship, or is it just employment?
Yeah, no, I think we look at, you know, across the board, we look at women and how to, you know, promote gender diversity across all sectors of the economy, right? As I said, TED Women is a fairly new platform, but I believe that the impact of TED Women, you know, should be similar to what TED has been able to achieve, right? Just the powerful way of using storytelling, innovation and insight to really bring about positive change in the world, right? So I'm a big fan. I think stories always are, you know, some of the best ways to really connect and change people's minds.
I guess also when you talk to companies, right, or consulting company, be it the SMEs or the larger ones, you know, and they have minimal female employees, what has been that very difficult message to get across?
Yeah, so I think it's actually that, look, I think everyone is really well-meaning, right? I think the message we try and get, and everyone says they recognize that, you know, it is important that women bring, that women, companies where gender diversity is high actually do better, that there is a business case around it. So I think that the key message I want to bring is that, yes, you have other priorities, right, but this is actually really one that cuts across all your priorities, right? So don't think about the women's issue, you know, in a silo. Because if you have priorities on, say, growth or transformation, or even, you know, all your people agenda, right? So when you think about overall recruitment and employee engagement, don't put women's issues off into a silo. Think about it across the board, right? So how do women contribute to growth? How do women contribute to innovation? You know, how do you have to think about women within the context of recruitment and training and development, right? So then it becomes something that is, you know, embedded into the overall organization architecture. And I think we also want to set the message that, you know, there are a few things you can do that will move the needle, right? And this is proven, it's data-backed. So if you have limited resources, you don't have to do everything. Focus on these few things.
Right. And I guess 2018, what are some of the plans for BCG in this space?
So internally, we continue to, you know, really focus on always just doing better. I think one of the things I'm proud of, you know, I really feel like we've got it right, is that, you know how I told you that there's this big disconnect between how men think, whether where we are in terms of the progress and whether companies are doing enough versus what women think, you know, like always 70% of men versus 40% of women. Mm-hmm. In BCG, actually, you know, the women are more positive about where we are than the men.
Okay. That's nice.
So that actually, internally as a company, right? So I think that tells me we're doing something right. So we are going to continue to do more of that internally. You know, we've introduced flex programs. We really to embed all that in the way we work. And I think as you saw, we will continue to, I think, lend our voice to the world, bringing our thought leadership, our experience in terms of how it has been done in BCG, but also the most effective companies around the world. And really just hope to use that as a platform for change.
Right. Thanks for being with us and sharing with us your thoughts. I've been speaking to Mariam Jaffa, talking about building bridges towards gender diversity. And Mariam is from BCG, Southeast Asia. You're listening to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.